You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Dan wants to buy printers for all the listeners. No. Tweet Dan today at Levitard Show.
If we're going to start taking gifts from listeners and actually including them in the community that way, we should probably do it in a way that is most spiritual and connected. Like, that's a really cool gesture. Why would they buy us a printer? Because I've just been asking for us to have just a few more resources so that somebody could get us a printer.
Well, you've mentioned that there's no printer for some time now, so a listener took it upon themselves to buy a printer. Now, Chris then says, what else do we need? Send it to us. And I would say you need to be very careful, because I came up with this idea in my head a while ago, and I mentioned it one day, I think on the Local Hour, where, I don't know if you guys remember, a long time ago, probably like 10, 15 years ago, there was this viral thing. It was called like oneredpaperclip.com or something like that, right? Where this guy started with a paperclip, and then his goal was to get a house. So he just kept bartering with people his way up. So he went like paperclip, and then the person would make him an offer. Then he somehow got to like a jet ski, and then he traded like a jet ski for this and that until he ended up with a house, right? So I came up with this idea where I just wanted to put out there, I want to be a millionaire, and just have everyone send me a dollar until I was a millionaire, right? Because a dollar is not that big a deal, right? I couldn't do that because it was Disney. And I'm like, well, I can't just be taking money from strangers. But I mentioned this idea one time on the Local Hour or whatever. And then people just found my Venmo, which I honestly didn't even know what my name was. They found my Venmo and just started sending me a dollar at a time. And it was like, not significant. It was like 15 people. And I was like, well, I can't accept this. Like, I don't feel right about it. I like was saying it as a joke, although it would be cool to be a millionaire just from strangers sending me $1 at a time. I was like, I feel guilty about like these $15. I don't want to get in trouble for
this. Well, what are we going to do, Billy? What are we going to do about this?
Well, so I would send the dollars back to them. And then I found out from someone else on the show who shall remain nameless, he also started receiving $1. And I'm like, yeah, but you got to send that back. You can't be keeping those dollars. You got to send it back to the people. We can't just be taking dollars from strangers.
Who
just because. And this person was like, no, I'm keeping that money. That money. They sent me a dollar.
Who? Chris. Chris.
Man, I don't know where they're sending it from. Like,
send it back to the same user.
Chris, you don't know if that works. It's unproven. I've read articles. Sending back process on Venmo, very tricky.
Chris, are you kidding me? You are stealing dollars from the listeners?
They gave it to me. I didn't steal it.
It'd be rude not to keep it, Dan.
Right. I mean, Billy, that was a little rude of you.
No, look, he tried to protect you by saying who shall remain nameless. He cloaked it in that.
We all knew, though.
How many dollars did you get, Chris? How many dollars did you steal from the listeners as you judge your father for being a stealer of dollars from the listeners. We got to shut this whole thing down. We got to shut the whole thing down.
I might have gotten like $21.
No, hold on. Billy, help me out here because I think your judgment. Mike is busy with an engineer. We're all bouncing off each other. People are wearing masks. It's totally crazy in here. Billy, we've made a terrible mistake, I feel like. I feel like we need to not be making any videos for anybody because I'm a little scared, Chris, of what's going to happen with your father. I feel like he's going to get in trouble. He's going to get into the drinks one night. He's going to be in his garage. He's going to end up in a bush. And that's not the worst thing in the world.
That's what I'm worried about. When those videos start coming from the garage, that's when we need to start worrying.
Well, he's going
to
say something that gets in trouble, Chris. And then we're not going to be able to protect him. And then he's going to blame me. Because we've done this. How long have we done this? This is the game with me and him. Like, you know what's going to happen. He's going to disgrace us all in scandal. And it's going to be my fault for giving him a camera so he could take money from the listeners.
That's right.
Zagaki.
There's no disputing it. We're just all on the same page. We all know this is exactly how it's going to go. It's just a matter of time. When will it happen?
The spaceship is going to blow up and end up in a ditch if we can't handle the speed of this.
It's
if we
a
can't
spaceship again.
I got to make a new open. Do I have to make a new open?
How bad? Can you guys explain to me how bad the big Suey pirate open
was? I feel like that got a bad rap yesterday. There is plenty of legit pirate sounds in that open. There's waves clashing. There's sword fighting. There's a pirate saying, "Walk the plank."
Can you guys send me that open? Okay. Send me that open.
Hold on.
And I'll play it here for Dan.
All right. I want to hear that. But Mike, this is Chris just taking dollars. He's making crap again, Mike. Is this what you're telling
me? This is bad. I was embarrassed by that.
Okay. So hold on.
I can't find a YouTube clip of a pirate saying, "Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me."
Yeah, but you have access to resources. And very clearly, they have to have royalty-free, already canned pirate effects.
No.
They're in there. He didn't listen to this open. There's ambient noise of just... Okay. I didn't create that. No. Those are commercial-free pirate sounds.
No, you don't know this. Our former employer just bought pirates. All of pirates are owned by said employer. You can't say yo-ho without adding another word at the end because yo-ho is now copyrighted, whatever it is. You can't say that. Arg is kind of like if you do the hard H at the end, you can do that, but you can't just do the A-R-G because that's also owned. You can't say dead men tell no tales. You can't say that. Don't even say that. Someone's going to have to bleep that. But you have to be very careful with all the pirate-themed things that you use because, again, pirates just as a genre owned.
I couldn't find a clip on the internet of a parrot saying, "Dan's been stress eating." Like that. That's not something I can find on the internet.
Well, you can do that. You just
hold
did
on
it.
A second. I need I to figure all this out. This needs to slow down for a second because Stugatz just
that walked, cup is looking empty.
Yeah, and Stugatz just walked back into the room with some coffee for me, and this thing might careen into a ditch here in a second where we start telling the good stories because you guys need to bring me back at some point, please, because the show's getting away from me today. You need to remind me to bring back because you just mentioned something about buying something in bulk. The day that I bought the elephant that we put all over the studio, I want to tell that story because it's
a
joke.
That was a scary day.
It's a joke nobody got. It's a joke. It was so not worth the risk. Nobody got the joke. Chris, because it was such a good joke. I'm gonna tell the story of this. It was such a good joke. So we'll get to that in a second, okay? But Stugatz has just walked back into the room. Mike is going crazy here, and he has got the sound of this pirate open because I don't know what you guys made here, and things are moving very fast around here. And Mike asked Chris to produce something. Mike is swallowed by engineers and masks, and he's half in of the show, half out of it. What happened with you and Chris?
Well, Roy produced it. I was the talent.
Okay, good. Right. Blame each other. That's fine. Mike, help me figure out why it was such
going
a,
well.
Why is such a crappy open to the Big Suey when we handed it over to Chris and Roy?
So I just wanted to rework the Big Suey open, which is its own entity, which probably could be sold separately, Stugatz. I hope you hear that, because it just like we just made something that's different when it's recorded the exact same way. But I just wanted it to sort of reflect the aesthetic that Angel, our graphics designer, already put out there for our podcast tile, which looks phenomenal, by the way. Angel is such a talent. So Roy,
website coming. Wait till you see website coming here by the end of the week. Angel's gonna roll out something. That dude.
It's a tequila. All well right, so said. Yeah.
Yeah,
good job.
Don't give any addresses out yet, Jesus, by the way.
Dan is sobbing, so right, ourselves, yeah, yeah, yeah. Dan is sobbing right now.
How much deeper can you get into that bottle?
Yeah. All right. So I say, hey, let's make a new Big Suey open. Roy and Chris are on it. They send it out, timely fashion. I actually don't hear it because I got a million things going on. I appreciate them getting this thing done. The first time I'm hearing it is in my car driving home to hear the first Big Suey. Lucky. And usually I trust Chris and Roy, and it's usually great. Roy, you did a good job. It's the work parts that Chris provided. Christ. That
Chris, do your job, man.
Let me paint
Chris,
the picture
hold on.
For you.
No,
all
no,
right?
Just hold on. Just back up for a second because I need to interrupt, Mike. And I'm sorry before we get to the sound. Chris, God, do your job, man. Like
I gave Roy 2 minutes of me giving just great pirate sounds. All right, I can't control.
Chris, do your job, says the host that's drinking tequila at 10:30 a.m.
So, says the host who saved your job.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, he always. Yeah, he's already pulled that card once on Greg. I think he's just going to keep reminding
come
Greg.
Come on, man. Greg's going to sink the whole thing. I thought it was going to be Stugantz. Greg's going to sink the whole thing. He's going to get drunk. He's going to get drunk on Cameo, and he's going to say some dumb thing, and then he's going to blame us. Like, that's what's going
to
happen.
It would be highly unprofessional for him to get drunk on the job. Here's the open for the Big Suey.
Oh, no. Wait. Let me set this up. Let me paint the picture. Everyone close your eyes. You're on a pirate ship right now. It's late at night, and you're at sea. Action.
Again, thank you for interrupting me.
Jesus.
Hold on. Do you have any?
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Whiskey move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
Are those the Jets fans in the background?
I think so, yeah.
No, those are pirates. Okay.
That sounds
those
just like the angry Jets
fighting.
Fans.
Okay, everyone needs to slow down because it hurt my feelings, okay, to have the voice of Hank Azaria.
No one more so than you with the tequila.
It hurt my feelings to hear our friend, Hank Azaria, who has worked at the top of show business, lending his voice, Chris, to you doing
that
those
art.
Shitty pirates. Now, you got to do better than that. You and your father.
You didn't have your eyes closed. That's what happened.
You and your father need to do better. So, Mike, can you please get for me? I need to get to this elephant's joke. Yes, Billy, what do you have?
Well, I would say, you know, of all the issues with that open, one of which was, it was kind of Brockmire on a pirate ship for some reason. We needed maybe like a pirate accent or something to set the scene because I was thinking I was going to watch a baseball game, but there's sword fighting going on in the background. And again, this was with my eyes closed, so maybe it was me. I don't know.
Well, Chris, I'm not certain. Chris, if he closes his eyes, I'm not certain he'll open them up. I mean, he might fall down. He's hammered. I mean.
Listen, Billy, I can only produce what's handed to me. That was what was handed to me there.
I mean, wow.
Okay.
I thought we produced something good, Roy.
That was the hand that was dealt, Roy.
Guys, you need to help me with something, okay? Because we are really showing. Help me. Roy, do not laugh at this. Roy, because everyone everyone needs to be better around here, and I need some help, okay? And Roy.
Except me, right?
No, you need to be better, too. Can you stop eating a sandwich while we're doing this? You just missed the first 10 minutes of the segment because you needed to go out to get coffee.
I mean, I need to get you coffee because of the hangover that's about to come your way. I mean, Jesus.
All right. Well, let me get this all out then before I totally get drunk. Let me get all of this out. So Brockmire is at the height of show business, right? He's been a movie star. He is lending his voice, the Simpsons voices to our show for no good reason at all.
What is happening?
Where did he go?
What just happened? Did you just get distracted?
Stugatz just said at one point, my tooth hurts also.
It does. I don't want to go to the dentist, COVID-19.
You got up and you got something.
Stugatz, you tell people, you mother, I'm telling a story here. You tell the people what you just did to me to interrupt the radio show as I'm trying to tell a story to our listeners connected to them. that links them to these people who have helped make us what we are. What did you just do to me while I was talking?
I flicked a little piece of my bagel. It was supposed to go into the garbage. It went right to Dan's face.
Oh, my God, no. COVID.
And then on the floor. I picked it up. I ate it.
Oh.
Can I finish what I was saying? Because you totally torpedoed the segment as I'm trying to give our listeners a drunken inner look at the inner belly of our production team and our chaos. And this isn't just a pirate ship.
Let's get to the story.
Let me summarize. Hank would be very proud to be part of that production of that imaging.
But listen to me. This is something we were doing over the break. We made that Stat of the Day song. I really delighted in having that be our last thing that we produced at ESPN. And we're going to have that for you. You're going to be able to find that on this website in a couple of days, the entirety of this song, because I was super moved that Trick Daddy and Luke and Mayday, the specifics of Miami, the Miami guys at Oigo, Church,
Kenny G,
Method Man, strangely, but forgotten in the middle of the night. Yes, so we thought that the Stat of the Day, you guys tell me, because this got cut and I felt bad about it. We had Hank do a little Brockmire, and we were going to extend Stat of the Day, and it didn't make the cut. A lot of things didn't make the cut because the long Stat of the Day was going to play for like 24 minutes, but the clocks at ESPN made it almost impossible to do that bit the way we wanted to do it and the way we could do it now that we're going to be a little bit freer. But, Mike, can you explain to people the backstory on why what you're about to play didn't make it in long Stat of the Day, and basically – our comedic cut, Hank Azaria failed it. He tried to do something for us that was exceedingly kind, that nobody paid him for. He did extraordinarily well, and it didn't make the cut on the bit. And I felt horrible about that because I thought it was exceptional, but it just didn't fit in what we were doing.
Right. I think that's the bottom line. What we were doing ended up being super musical, and we just wanted to keep putting, you know, feelers out there, hey, creatives, can you help us? Because we weren't quite sure exactly what this was going to be. Could it be music and then Poppy talking for a little bit? Someone gives a stat, and then Brockmire shows up, and then another song, and then we just settled on, okay, this is super long. Let's just make it one big piece of music.
There were supposed to be Simpsons characters throughout that, just singing and doing stuff, but it just became a piece of music. And so Stugatz,
well, we can tell the story, like there were supposed to be A-listers attached actually giving stats, but it became something else.
Yes, actually that was supposed to have in it. We can tell the story. Yes, Billy, we can tell the story. You know what Stat of the Day was supposed to have? How about this one? Stat of the Day was supposed to have, and it fell apart at the last second, Meryl Streep reading some joke about what her favorite stat of the day was. Leonardo DiCaprio reading some joke about what stat.
I wonder how that fell apart.
No, but we were so close. We were so damn close. So, Billy, what were you going to say?
You have been drinking, but I can back this up. We were really close on this happening, but it wasn't going to be able to be turned around in time for our deadline, which apparently was 6:30 a.m. day of, because that's just us. So once we realized we weren't going to have people giving their own personal favorite stats in non-musical form, then this wouldn't make the cut.
I was going to say, yeah, the email we got was like, write this as if John C. Reilly is going to read something. Wait, what's happening now? So then we're going through and finding all these different stats. And wow, if we knew Meryl was going to read.
You know what's funny? The people who have been most inside on this show, Billy, you'll enjoy this, because during the pandemic, what happened is me and Mike were in a world where like Jonah Hill and John C. Reilly were going to be doing stuff for us. Like they were going to actually be doing these bits. I was talking to them about what the bit was going to be. And some of you may have heard in the underbelly that existed at ESPN that was built there. We were doing during the pandemic some weird made up characters. They were going to be John C. Reilly and Jonah Hill. Like they were, in fact. Roy, did you recognize the guy from Scrubs who did a bit for us?
No, I did not.
The janitor from Scrubs did one.
Oh, Neil Flynn. Yes, yes.
How do you know the name?
Well, he knows the name.
He loves Scrubs.
But he knows
the name of actors.
But you didn't get the bit, Roy? You don't know what we're talking about right now?
No, I didn't hear it.
Mike, was he the bat eater? Was he the bat lobbyist?
He was David Gilmore, the lobbyist for bat meat. That was actually supposed to be played by Jonah Hill.
That was supposed to be Jonah Hill. So we were going to get some of these people, and we were going to be able to play with them. But actually, what's funny, who played Mike? Who played? John C. Reilly was ready to play a character who, during the pandemic, was a baseball player who had never thought about anything in his life. And in a moment of introspection, he wondered during the pandemic in a really depressed way about his, he considered his sexuality for the first time. And John C. Reilly was supposed to be playing that character. But who did play the character, Mike? This is offensive.
One of the founding members of the Upright Citizens Brigade.
I don't remember his name, though, and I feel embarrassed.
Yeah, well, we're down here now, aren't we, Dan?
Yes,
what was John C. Reilly doing? I mean, I'm looking at
he was supposed to be this Tampa
2021.
He was supposed to be this Tampa baseball player, but
yeah, his life was falling apart.
Thank you for continuing to ask me questions over the air.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Maybe
I'm not there been on the show.
Was that name dropping? Was all of that very name dropping?
It's not name dropping if you can't name the guy.
And we don't get them. And we don't actually get them. So play.
Wait, did you talk to Jonah Hill?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Right.
So and then his publicist stepped in because I shouldn't even be telling these stories. Okay. So can you go and play for us, Mike? Exactly. This is the Brock Meyer bit. You tell me if it would have fit anywhere in Stat of the Day, because it hurt me to not be able to. That Brock Meyer character is so good. So damn good. It's just perfect for our audience, and Hank nails it every damn time. And I can't believe that dude is even available to us. The talent on that guy is just absurd. And so this is Brock Meyer trying to get into Stat of the Day, the long Stat of the Day, but he couldn't make his way into it. So let's see if this fits in any way or if it's just funny standalone.
Fastball in the dirt, ball one. Folks, Jim Brock Meyer with you this afternoon. It's the top of the fourth, which means it's time for the Franklin Auto Group Stat of the Day. Today's stat is a fun one about a pitcher who threw his first major league pitch back in 1986 and was still on the mound four decades later. An impressive feat made even more impressive when you consider that in 1986, many baseball players were just cocaine-fueled vampires, men who did not sleep or eat. They simply took the field for 3 hours and then participated in nights of such rampant debauchery, well, they'd make Motley Crue blush. Pedro misses outside with that one, 2-0. Now, I remember a road trip I took back then as a wet behind the ears minor league broadcaster when I accidentally stumbled into the home team's locker room after a game. And before I could let out even a quick oops, I'm sorry, I saw a man wearing nothing but batting gloves being held upside down by his ankle by the team's starting shortstop and a woman who I can only assume was a prostitute burying his head in a Tony Montana-esque mountain of pure Colombian white powder. Fastball swung on and missed, 2-1. Now, I'm no prude. Seen my fair share of drug use and inverted genitals, but something about that image haunts me to this day. Perhaps it was the dead-eyed look on the shortstop's face, but more likely, it was that everybody in that locker room was cheering. Everyone, except for the team's mascot, a cartoonish sea otter dressed like the Gorton's fisherman with a huge, immobile smile on his face. He was just sitting in the corner, rocking back and forth and weeping, as if he were witnessing the last days of Sodom. Now, whenever I see any mascot's face, I experience a sort of sense-memory flashback to the smell of sweat, cocaine, and the cursed vision of that tormented sea otter's thousand-yard stare. That one is chopped foul to the right side. Count even, it's 2-2. Well, folks, on that note, your Franklin Auto Group stat of the day is that by the time he retired in 2010, Jamie Moyer had faced 8.9% of all major league hitters ever, dating back to the 1800s. Wow. How about that, huh? Jamie Moyer. And Pedro misses with a breaking ball. Count goes full. Folks, I'm aware that I went on a little bit of a tangent there, realizing that I just said some things that probably were not appropriate for mentioning alongside something as meaningful to our family audiences as the beloved stat of the day. So I owe you and the good people at Franklin Auto Group a sincere and heartfelt apology. You know, I pride myself and I think of myself as a man of faith. And that is a deep drive to left field by Castellanos. And that is going to be a home run. And that will make it a 40-0 ball game.
It didn't. We didn't get to edit it. We never got around to editing it. But
yeah,
Mike,
you'll hear a cell phone ding in the middle.
Yes,
of
that. But he did that work for us, and it didn't make the cut. And I'm going to need to apologize to him by phone after embarrassing him publicly because he should have made the cut.
Well,
that
now it
funny.
Made its debut on the official number one sports podcast.
Right, it's a standalone, so you could tell him that it was so good we just wanted to play it on its
I
own.
I could lie to yes. him. Okay, but Mike, where can now with the context, right? Because we had created during the pandemic, we were a bit bored, and everybody was locked up, and creatives were going crazy, and so we created an absurdly silly underbelly world of just totally made up characters. Shane Bacalata, Tim Jerns, I think might have been my favorite, a strength coach who during the pandemic wasn't following any of the rules and then tried to kill me. Mike, where can explain to people this is? Do we still have this?
So
we
if
own
you
this
were
now,
if
right?
you were always subscribed to Mystery Crate, those episodes are downloaded to your phone, so you can go through the archive. Unfortunately, with our transition away from ESPN, part of the deal is we get to keep our feeds, but we have to sort of clear the cache, right? The archive. But since we have access to our library, nothing stops us from putting out these episodes repurposed. So I was actually going to put out in the coming days a Tim Jern-centric Mystery Crate episode to catch everybody up on some of the good stuff that we were doing during the pandemic with Tim Jern. So all of his appearances were going to be in one self-contained Mystery Crate episode.
But I have to thank Ian Roberts because this is a comedic, like these are this comedy, yeah. this group of comedy people, okay? It's a very small group. It's an elite group. They all know each other and they're wildly funny creatives. And for some reason, I don't understand why, but probably because we're this weird vibrating thing that's a little different in sports. They keep coming over and being like, hey, like, can I do something over there? Like, this might be fun.
Yeah, you worked with legit stars in the improv comedy world. Neil Flynn, who played David Gilmore, is so great, quick on his feet, and you have to be there. Ian Roberts played Andy Ganjo. That was a name that escaped us. Ian Roberts, a founding member of the Upright Citizens Brigade, played this depressed slugger from the Tampa baseball team that was going through depression and self-discovery during the pandemic.
We were never going to tell you who these people were. We thought it was funny. We thought it would have been funnier, right? The reason I was dropping the names John C. Reilly and Jonah Hill is because we thought it would be funnier if they just did it and we never told you it was them.
Well, we didn't want to bring additional attention by saying the names out there because I was legitimately scared that ESPN would squash it because we were playing it straight. For it to work, we couldn't tell you that it was a joke. So I didn't want it coming across ESPN's desk that all these people are talking about, who is this Tim Jerns character? Why is Dan giving this person a platform? So we didn't even mention it on the radio show, really.
I feel like I should keep, though. You tell me if I'm wrong, Mike, because I don't know. And we've been on parts of this journey in a way that's so, it's just wonderful, okay? Because I will tell you, that Stugatz, when I got in trouble at ESPN and the whole thing was shaking and shaking and it felt unstable, a whole bunch of really cool people rushed in support to my side. Like cool, genuine people who just wanted to help us because they get what we do. They understand this show. And they came to make me feel super supported by allowing me to play around in this playground where I think if you look at it, Mike, this is so much more interesting from this perspective, looking back on it as a collection of work of people who came to rescue us. But I don't know whether we should tell people who Tim Jerns. I don't want to tell people who Tim Jerns is.
Oh, you can't do that.
The diehards already know.
And but I don't want people.
Ray Liotta.
I also don't want people to know who Shane Bacalata is, and I don't want people to know who Harry the Horse is.
Okay, so we'll reveal everybody else, but not those. But those people have kind of like revealed themselves. Our community is. I was really impressed that the Reddit kind of figured out with certainty who some of these people were, because Neil Flynn doesn't have like this instantly recognizable voice, and they were like really trying to piece together the mystery, which was a cool part of it.
People got so mad. Explain to me, because I don't know. I think Shane Bacalata was my favorite. I'm not sure whether it was him or Jerns. And I liked all of them because these people are very good at comedy and they played the bit so very well. I would have loved to get you Jonah Hill to end up playing the lobbyist on behalf of eating bat meat. Mike, can you just get that for me now so that we can give people the context? Like, how hard is that to get right
an
now?
An entire and just, Mystery Crate episode?
Like,
for
you just,
now?
Well, I mean, but no, that Mystery Crate, if we were to put it here, or the one that you like best, I'm into the tequila, so help me out
this
here.
This is, okay.
All right, so you know we're bouncing outside of sports every once in a while here because there are very few, precious few sports going on right now that aren't Korean baseball, and we've been pandemic heavy in some of the things that we're talking about daily, but I couldn't believe this thing that I was reading about Next Gen Meats lobbying Congress for a bailout package, and you guys have had me recently siding with billionaires, even though I'm being sarcastic about feeling bad for the Warren Buffetts and Mickey Arisons and the Saudis. You guys have gotten on me, and here is a company, Next Gen Meats, lobbying Congress for a bailout because, of course, bat sales have plummeted since the pandemic started. So Allison has gotten in touch with their head lobbyist, David Gilmore. And I guess my first question is how in good conscience can you ask for a bailout given everything that the world is enduring right now as a result of what happened with bat meat to begin with?
Well, now, first of all, I have to correct you. We don't know that this involved a bat at all. That's conjecture. It could have happened. But if there was one infected bat and someone unfortunately took a bite of it, well, that's if you took a bite of a human being right now, you would maybe just as bad off, right? I mean, disease travels in mammals. And so we don't concentrate on that, the possibility that a single bat infected a single human and it led to catastrophe. What we prefer to concentrate on is that society, especially American society, is missing out on a whole branch of nutrition and delicacy, and that is the bat and its meat, it's the sustenance it provides. And by the way, we can get to this later if you wish. There are many other animals that could provide nutrition that are completely ignored in American dining. But yes, we at Next Gen Meats, we're at the moment we're concentrating on the bat and the neglect it's been subjected to.
Well, I didn't know that bat meat was a culinary thing until this, to be honest with you. I guess I was ignorant. I did not think of people eating bat. This is a successful industry. Who's buying a lot of bat product?
Oh, it's a global thing. It's been established for hundreds of years. Before it was available commercially, people dined on bats just as a regular way of having lunch, or it wasn't. I don't know if anything was considered a delicacy 200 years ago. If there's such thing as a delicacy, but yes, it's. See, we in America live in a sort of cocoon. We're not open to we eat chicken, beef, and pork. Basically, is all Americans live on, and we have blinders on. It's let me give you an example. In Spain, for instance, there is a long established eating a restaurant called Comamos Murcielagos, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. They've been serving bat for 150 years.
David Gilmore, as I said, here on ESPN Radio, Next Gen Meats lobbying Congress for a bailout package. Can you explain to me what exactly you're lobbying for, David?
Well, I don't like to say lobbying. I prefer to consider myself an advocate. And then I do it with a clear conscience because I believe in the nutritional value of bat meat. And in the meantime, it's not like eating your vegetables, you know. It actually is a bit of a delicacy. It's, the old saying is it tastes like chicken. Everyone likes to say that about virtually everything. It tastes like chicken. Well, you know, bat does taste a little bit like chicken. And I tried to say as sort of a slogan, you know, it tastes like chicken, but with wings. And then I quickly realized, of course, that chickens also have wings. And so that wasn't going to work. So I've changed it to it tastes like chicken, but with ears. And so far, no one has, taken me up on wanting to use that as a slogan. But I'm just trying to get the ball rolling, you know. It's just something that obviously the bat meat suppliers are struggling right now because we've got a little bit of a PR crisis, you know.
Nutritional value, though? What is the nutritional value of bat?
Well, about the same as, say, a mouse. You know, it's there's protein. There's not a lot of meat on a bat, as you can imagine. It once it's extruded, or however you would explain how you remove the meat from a bat, it's maybe a tablespoon full of meat. So, and you need a unless you want just a quick snack, a quick burst of energy. You know, it, like if you're taking a break from your soccer game or something, just take a quick nibble. If you want to make a meal out of it, you're talking about several, if not dozens, of bats. But the nutritional value is right up there with any other meal.
So like jerky or like just protein?
Yes. Funny you should say that. Bat jerky is something that we're trying to get moving along. It's been around forever. You know, people would hang bat meat in their cabin or what have you, and as it dries, then you can store it and for a long hike or something, or if you're forced to leave your village, or if you're, you know, being stalked by some predator. I'm thinking, you know, dinosaurs or tigers. I don't know how long. I don't know if bats were around back then. I'm getting a little out of my lane, but. Yes, bat jerky is a thing.
Next gen meats. Are there other meats other than bat? Like, again, this is foreign to me. I'm a bit ignorant here, so forgive my ignorance. But I did not know that bat eating was a thing. And next gen meats, is it limited to bats? Or is there other exotic fare?
I'm glad you asked me that, Dan. There are several species of animals that have been neglected in terms of being looked to for nutrition and sustenance. You familiar with a lemur? You know what a lemur is?
Oh, God, no. A lemur, yes, they're adorable. A lemur's adorable.
Ring-tailed lemur is one source. Yeah, well, they're adorable, yes. It's sort of a cross between a monkey and a raccoon, I would say. Sort of a kind of a stylish raccoon, if you will. But their meat is delicious, and no one, since you're right, they are sort of cute or adorable, and so we don't raise them to be slaughtered and turned into meat. That seems cruel. So the lemur meat that the next gen meat sells are lemurs that have passed on naturally, lemurs that have died of old age, if you will, and. I that may sound unappetizing to some people, but would you rather them be slaughtered as young lemurs or slaughtered as dead old lemurs?
Again, David Gilmore with us on ESPN Radio, a lobbyist here lobbying Congress for a bailout package for the selling of bats as a food for next-gen meats. David Gilmore, can you please explain to me how, in good conscience, I believe a lot of people listening to this would be wondering how it is that you can ignore sort of the science on, it's not conjecture when it comes to the bat meat and how this started. Everything is viewed as conspiracy theories beyond the science.
Are you saying that it's settled fact that this coronavirus came from the ingestion of bat meat?
That is what I am saying. Yes, I believe that is settled fact. I don't think I have that wrong.
Okay. Well, there are. Look, let's say that I accept your bogus theory that it came from an actual ingestion of bat meat. Well, that happens sometimes. It doesn't. If you eat a bad a dented can of mushroom soup, you might get sick, and you don't call for the eradication of mushrooms. It's just a single case that went wrong. If a horse bucks you off, you don't return with a machine gun and kill all the horses. I've wandered afield here. I don't mean to discuss killing hundreds of horses. But you know what I'm saying? Okay, let's say that a bad bat, one bad apple in the barrel caused this little problem we have here. Well, you know, that's going to happen. Don't turn your back on the chance of a lifetime of enjoying a possible choice for dinner, lunch, breakfast, snack.
Breakfast bat. I didn't think bat was a food, and if I did think it was a food, I thought it was a dinner. Breakfast bat?
Yes. Just something to, you know, breakfast, they say, is the most important meal of the day. And you start off your day with, you hop out of bed and think, you know what? I'm just going to have a little bite of bat and hop on the bike and, you know, or whatever it is you enjoy doing. Bite a bat and get on a pogo stick. I don't know. It gives you energy and also puts a smile on your face. And you don't, I should point out that it doesn't have to be looking like a bat in your freezer. You know, that's not the most appealing thing in the world. It's the same way as a hamburger patty doesn't look like a cow. It's processed, you know. And so the kids, you know, when you get up in the morning to feed your children some bat, it's not going to scare them. It doesn't look like an animal. Very few foods look like an animal. Like, I'm not sure I can think of one.
David, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate the time. Again, Next Gen Meats is lobbying Congress for a bailout package, and he is the head lobbyist on behalf of Next Gen Meats. Thank you, David, for being on with us.
Thank you very much.
Wow. Wow, that was great.
Amazing.
Yep. Incredible.
Awesome. Thank you for listening.
Please stop drinking in the morning.
Context given.
Jesus.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text Thin to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text Thin to 200-300. That's Thin to 200-300. Thin to 200-300. We'll be right back.